Welcome to the Carpool Podcast with Kelly.
All he wants to be is a zookeeper, loves every animal, only realistic animals will do. And lately, the question has been, how long does something live for?
And Liz.
Stop me in my tracks with how bad looking it is. I took a photo and sent it to Maddie. I didn't send him a single photo of any other car except for that one.
Your mom time off starts now.
Welcome back to the Carpool Podcast with Kelly.
And Liz.
Hey, Liz.
Hey, Cal.
Back to work.
Sorry, guys. There was no episode on Tuesday.
It was disgusting.
We couldn't get it done.
We couldn't get it done and go to New York. But what we did get done in New York is a lot of really good car tours. I mean, it was productive.
And I think I'm feeling better about traveling. We needed that redemption shot. It was so easy. And yeah. Good. Or maybe we just need Sydney in our life.
Everyone needs a Sydney in their life.
I know.
Sydney we're was so just, blessed. We're so happy. We're so blessed. We're so happy that we could take Sydney to New York because she's just
easy.
Oh, you guys need lunch? Oh, well, I saw this like really good, you know, pizza place up here. It's like a 40-minute Uber, but I'm just going to Uber Eats and get to the hotel. I already know exactly what to order. And we're like, okay. Like she's just a girl who handles it.
She gets things
I done. I want to be more like her.
I do too. I want to be so just like easy and go with the flow. And can you do this? Yeah, sure. Get
and
it
nothing,
done.
Nothing phases her. Nothing stresses her out.
No.
She's just incredible.
I know. Love her. So New York was a blast. We got to see lots of fun new cars. We got to do two private tours with 30 people. And that was so much fun to meet everyone. We had two really solid groups of people.
Yeah, the tours were so fun. And the show was great. I mean, the disappointing thing about the show, truthfully, was there was just some major manufacturers that didn't show up. Yeah. And I'm not trying to like snark on the New York Auto Show, but it's like how embarrassing that like you didn't have a Mazda CX-90 at your show and I had two at mine. I had the hybrid and the gas version.
Mm, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They didn't have a single Chrysler Pacifica. I had one. A good
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
A pinnacle.
Yeah.
And so it's just.
Well, and they're, you know, they're different. They also had a lot that we don't have.
But I think it depends on what you're looking for.
No, it totally depends on what
so
you're
looking for. So basically, like, just. And this is like, we gotta. This is like something we just need to keep our hand on the pulse. Because auto shows are kind of. They're really expensive for the manufacturers to do.
Like, their activations and everything, or like their displays that they put on, millions. Millions
yeah.
of dollars.
Yeah.
They're very expensive.
So a lot of manufacturers just are like, oh, we don't think it's really worth it. Or like, you know, we have to cut out this budget. So they've already stopped going to like a lot of like the St. Louis Auto Show. No offense. It's kind of a joke. Like basically it's all dealers just bringing their cars with like three manufacturers showing up.
Yeah.
But I mean, like here's who was not at the New York Auto Show, which is the biggest auto show. Stellantis.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no Chrysler Dodge.
Jeep Ram.
Mazda wasn't there. BMW wasn't there. Mercedes wasn't there. Volvo wasn't there.
Lincoln wasn't there.
Cadillac wasn't there. So was crazy.
Yeah.
You know who I can't believe like is just still spending that much money to go to the auto shows? Is Subaru. They have the biggest, most extravagant display.
But it's the same every year.
It's the same every year.
They've got it. They've got it figured out. And it's really nice. And they bring the puppies. And like, you just know what to expect from them. And
yeah. I felt the one I noticed the most was Stellantis not being there. I mean, that's one of the big three. And Stellantis mm-hmm. is also one of our industry news story because they're floundering is what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're giving flounder.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But anyway, speaking of auto. So New York Auto Show was great. It was fun. But speaking of auto shows.
Thank you to everyone who traveled to come out and see us and come to the New York Auto Show.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yes.
You and speaking of traveling.
Yeah.
Our auto show tickets have been released.
I know. I'm so excited.
July 20th in St. Louis. It's a Saturday. You have no idea how excited we are that it's on a Saturday.
Here's why it's on a Saturday. And here's why it's in July. Just to clear up some questions. Because in the past 2 years, it's been in September on a Sunday. That was because dealerships are closed on Sunday. And we rely on the St. Louis dealerships to get their cars.
With the exception of GM did send us some cars. Yes. Oh, and Stellantis.
Stellantis. They were like, we can afford the Car Mom Auto Show. We'll show up to our auto show. So we did feel as though this year we really wanted to try a Saturday because it's easier for people who are traveling, so they can come on Saturday and then leave on Sunday.
Yeah.
And we also kind of are hope, like, we're feeling like we've got, it's been successful enough in the past 2 years that now the dealerships here kind of know their drill and they're going to be like, okay, yeah.
And they have more inventory.
So for all those reasons. And we picked this date before we knew either one of us were pregnant, and July was the only Saturday available, except for like maybe one in like late September. But we wanted to try July, and then we both found out later that we were going to be pregnant. We were doing September. Praise. So it could not have worked out better.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the auto show. So if you've never been, it's so fun. I mean, it really is. Like, we pull out all the stops. Mm-hmm. We are in it for the fun. So we have 25 to 30 cars. We'll probably have more. We'll probably have closer to 30 this year because I think we're going to do some more outside cars.
Yeah.
We install car seats in every car. We have a ton of fun vendors, like shopping vendors, kids boutiques. And then we also added last year kids activities because, mm-hmm. like, you're not going to have the car mono show without the kids. Like, that's the best part. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking Disney princess. I'm talking face painter. I'm talking balloon artist, bubble bus, cotton candy, snow cones.
Yeah.
Like, it is just so fun.
It's so fun.
And St. Louis is a very family friendly place. And we have like plenty of like guides and content, and even like a travel agent we're working with who's going to like coordinate some vibes, mm-hmm. for you. Mm-hmm. So we'd love for you guys to travel. Maybe one day we'll probably take it on the road, but like, we're just not in our take it on the road era. And no. It's so much like, since we have such relationships with the St. Louis dealers and we have all the car seats here, like, if we were going to, we would have to go somewhere in driving distance. And we just felt like if we were only going to go somewhere in driving distance, it's so we can do such a better job here.
Yeah.
Like, I know what I can deliver here, and I would not ask you or encourage you to make the trip if I didn't think it was going to be so worth it. Mm-hmm. And you can't, like, it's time saving. Like, you can't see all the family cars in one spot like this anywhere. You can't even see it at the New York Auto Show. Mm-hmm. So, and all the car seats are there. Which Bye Bye Baby closed. So where now? Where are you going to look at car seats in person?
I know. That's the other thing. So, we have extended the time, so it's going to be a little bit longer this year. I would encourage, if you are going to come, to, like, you don't have to come right when it starts. So that's when it's the most busy. So, like, kind of wait throughout the day. Like, it's the same. Same thing is happening all day. Yeah. It's just an auto show. So don't feel like you have to come. I think we have about 75 VIP tickets left at the time of this recording. So if you are interested in doing the VIP night, which is exclusive access to the cars, you can get those.
Yeah. So the VIP night's the Friday night before.
Oh, yeah.
We've never been able to have it like at the show because we've never been able to set up the night before. So it's going to be so swanky. We'll have like a bar and some appetizers, and you can like just chill, relax, hang out with us and our whole family, and like look at the cars kind of privately.
Yeah.
It's pretty iconic.
No, it's so much fun last year. So yeah, get your auto show tickets.
Get your auto show tickets. Okay, Liz, well, should we move on to like our roadmap? Like, what can people expect from today's episode?
Yeah, so we have a millennial word of the day. We have some just like dumps and like things to talk about. Industry news, ditch the drive-through, and like we'll just see like what else comes up on our trip.
Yeah, I do have a segment I was thinking we could play.
Perfect. Can't wait.
I need to think of something like Car Talks with George or something like that.
Okay. I don't know what that is.
Well, it's George inspired because it's like conversations I've had with George in the car that I feel like you guys all need to be a part of.
Oh, okay. I can't wait to hear. But let's start with where we always start, which is the millennial word of the day, where we learn Gen Z slang so we can be
less lame.
Today's word is nimming.
Nimming.
N-Y-M-I-N-G.
Ugh, I hate this word. I already hate this word. It just sounds so... Is it short for something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Nimming. What is nimming short for? Hold on. Well, can I get this?
Maybe. It is short for something.
Nimble?
No. Nimming is another term used on TikTok, which stands for acronyming.
Oh my God. I would have never
acronym. So when you laugh out loud, LOL, you're nimming laugh out loud, I guess. You're acronyming.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're going downhill.
What if TikTok, gets banned, what are the, how are the Gen Zs going to like communicate with each other on like what's hot?
I think they'll, well, I think they're still on Snapchat, first of all.
Oh, okay. But Snapchat, are there like videos on Snapchat?
Yeah, there's videos on Snapchat. And I'm telling you, like, I follow a few like social media experts and they're all saying like the next big thing is YouTube Shorts. Cause like that's where actually the next generation's going, because like all the 12 and 13 year olds, a lot of their parents don't let them have TikTok, mm-hmm. but they let them have YouTube Shorts.
Okay.
I think TikTok is, I think we'll see the end of TikTok in my lifetime.
Yeah. Vine, saw the end of Vine.
We saw the end of Vine.
Are we gonna see the end of TikTok?
I think we will.
Kind of crazy.
I think we will. I also just feel like the people who, like the TikTokers have kind of like settled on TikTok, and like I just think, you know, I don't know. I don't miss it at all anymore.
Mm-mm,
also, Reels is popping off.
Reels is so good.
And you know what you're doing on Reels? Like what I like about the algorithm on Instagram is it's like it just, I feel like it just knows me really well, and I feel like I'm learning things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like things are just getting better. No, and everyone's now all the TikTokers are looking to diversify. Everyone's putting everything on Instagram now. Like it's a jolly old time over on the good old IG.
It is. I'm always on it.
Speaking of like content that's popping off. Hey, girl.
What? My content's popping off. Guys, I'm having a girl. Oh my gosh. I can't believe it. I thought it was
never in my wildest dreams.
I thought it was too good. So I thought, was thinking boy, because I was like, it's too good to be true. And then I saw that first ultrasound, the second ultrasound, like when you can see like arms and legs and stuff. And I left and I like wanted, I sent Maddie a picture and I had typed, she's darling. But like, then I removed it because I'm like, we don't know if it's a boy or a girl. But like, I knew it was a girl when I saw the ultrasound. But then I just like didn't want to plant my flag there because I'm like, it's just too good to be true that Kelly and I would both have girls 3 weeks apart after just having boys 5 months apart. No, like that would never happen.
It is. I'm so like, I don't even know what to say except praise God. Like, I really don't. I can't believe we're so lucky. I mean, I and blessed. And I just I feel so happy.
I'm so happy.
And they're going to be best friends. They'll just have like our little like, you know, four. Well, then the other two.
Yeah, than the older ones. I know. I'm so excited. Of course, I'd be happy either way, but like, I really wanted a girl.
If you're, yeah, it's.
I fun. Just like, I really wanted a girl. Like, I'm so excited to have a girl.
Yeah.
So Shame. We already have the name picked out. We had the name picked out for James.
I know.
So it was like, okay, that's it. No thinking about it.
Are you going to share the name?
I don't know. I haven't had that conversation with my husband. Probably not, but.
Because it's like you're telling everyone in your like your personal life.
Yeah, but some things can stay.
No, I know. Personal. I agree. I was just genuinely curious.
No, I don't know. I thought that the this one I think is harder to guess than James. Totally. Like everyone really guessed James right away. When I was doing my hints, I think this one's a little bit harder to guess.
I don't know anybody with your baby's name.
I've heard a few.
I have not decided 100% on a name yet, but my leading contender is currently a carpooler submission name. So keep sending them to me.
Yeah.
And it was a name that like, of course, I knew existed. But then it's like what I'm doing is I'm trying to take in names and sit with them and not immediately be like, no, I don't like that. Because it's mm-hmm. like, let's just sit with it for a second.
Yeah.
And I have noticed this time around, I'm really gravitating towards more. I don't want to say popular, common, simple names. Mm-hmm. I think I like had my fun with Fred.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, Emma's cute.
Yeah.
You know?
You just are the type, I feel like, that always needs something that's short, but it's short for. Like, I said one name, and you're like, yeah, but what is it?
No, that's so
mean. What's it short for? And I'm like, no, like, it's just the name. Like, you just name her this, and then, like, there's no other thing. I don't remember what the name was, but you're like, but what's it short for?
I definitely do that. And especially with the girls. I'm like obsessed with like the middle name, being able to say, like, I love saying Hattie Faye.
Mm-hmm.
Hattie Faye. So it's like, I have to have like a short middle name.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm still, I have not made a decision. I don't think I'm all that close. I think I want to like keep the brain open.
You certainly have time.
That's one thing I have for
that
sure.
That is one thing.
No, that's one thing I have for sure.
Definitely.
But I'm not going to be the kind of person. I just don't. And this is just me. I don't think I need to see. I don't feel necessarily like I need to see the baby before. I think I'll make a decision before. Mm-hmm. I had all my kids prenamed.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that.
I'd be curious to know like what the breakdown on that is. It's like who couldn't name the baby until they saw them and who's like, it's going to come out looking like a potato. It's fine.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't know. I kind of felt that way. I was like, well, we're pretty sure it's James, but like I had the sign printed out, but like I was willing to change it if I felt differently yeah. when I saw him. But then it's like, no, it's just James.
And maybe, yeah, maybe if I've just always thought, oh, my kids totally pull those names off.
Yeah. I think you just like grow into your name.
I think you totally grow into your name. Do you think your name, truthfully, do you think your name really has that much of an effect on how your life turns out? Kind of an interesting question because I think there's so much pressure on it, but like if my name was Nicole, like would I still be the car mom?
Yeah. I mean, if it's just like another just like normal name, for sure. It's like literally the first thing I thought of when you said that was the Johnny Cash song Boy Named Sue, and he was like how his dad named him Sue to make him tough because his dad left him and he knew he'd be bullied. so like that I think is an exception, but yeah, no, I think that if your name was Nicole it would be fine.
Yeah. But if it was like something crazy, you think it might affect my life a little bit?
I don't know. Probably. I mean, probably not. I don't think it's that deep.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready for car rides with George?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to play a quick little game because George is so animal obsessed.
Obsessed.
All he wants to be is a zookeeper, loves every animal, only realistic animals will do. And lately, the question has been, how long does something live for?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I'm going to ask you four.
Okay.
And I think you will be shocked how little we know about the lifespan of an animal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
So this is like animal, just like living the average length of a frog, and it's just like in the wild.
Yeah, I mean, I would say like if you're within 5 to 7 years, like I'll give you a W.
Wow, 5 to 7 years feels like a lot.
Well, we can just guess.
Okay, we'll just see.
Okay, number one, rattlesnake. How long does a rattlesnake live for?
I'm gonna say a rattlesnake lives for. See, now I'm thinking reptiles live for a long time. So I'm going to say 20 years.
16 to 22 years.
Woo!
I'm going to give you a point for that.
Yes.
Okay. Elephant.
Elephant.
Elephant lifespan. Now, there are two different types of elephants. So there's okay. the Asian and then there's the African bush.
Well, no. That I'll definitely have to do different answers based on that. So which one are we doing?
We're going
to
do the African elephant.
Okay, the African elephant. Now, my thought process here is... big dogs usually die sooner than smaller dogs because they get like a lot more yeah. problems. So I'm going to say an elephant lives for 12 to 15 years.
60 to 70 years.
60 to 70 years? Really?
Really?
Wow.
Now that's the African bush. The Asian's 48.
Okay. So I was...
African elephant, 60 to 70 years. Isn't that crazy?
That is such a long... What did they even do for that long? Just like walk around? The Sahara.
Giant Pacific octopus.
Now octopus I think live for a really really long time, so I'm gonna say that's closer to 80 years.
3 to 5 years.
3 to 5 years. Wow, that is so short.
You know, the great Pacific octopus lives 3 to 5 years. Are you jealous of how much like things I know about animals now?
No, because you're Googling them right
now. Well, I just don't remember off the top. No, Elizabeth, I would not have guessed 80 years. I knew that there was not. Snapping turtle.
Snapping turtle, 14 years. No, wait, no. Turtles live for a really long time. Hold on. Let me take that back.
14 years.
No, they live for long because tortoises can be like 100.
Yeah.
Snapping turtle, 50 years.
40.
Okay. Rattlesnake and snapping turtle, I get a W.
Yeah, you get a W. We actually recently inherited we found a dead snapping turtle. And Tyler.
Yeah, he told me this on Easter.
Yeah, it's fine. We gutted it. It was dead. We gutted it And then
I just can't believe he gutted it. That's disgusting.
He said it was disgusting. He said it was disgusting. That's so funny. The next morning I'm like changing Fred's diaper, and Fred's at the age where he's alligator rolling, so it's kind of a two-person job for a really bad one. And every time I open up Fred's diaper, he goes, "Oh gosh." And I'm like, "You literally gutted a snapping turtle yesterday."
Yeah, like calm down.
But anyway, now we have the snapping turtle shell and George is obsessed with it. Oh my gosh. Okay, last one.
Oh, good. There's another one. This is fun.
I know, right? The bald eagle.
The bald eagle.
One of his favorites.
I have no clue. I don't know anything about birds. I'm going to say 25 years.
20 to
30.
Yes. Do you want one more?
Yeah, I do. I'm having so much fun.
The killer whale.
The killer whale. See, now I thought octopus would live a long time. But I'm also thinking killer whale will live a long time because they've got to get really big. 40 years?
50 to 90.
50 to 90?
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Well, because I guess probably not a lot can kill them. So they have to die of probably natural causes.
There's a video
causes.
Going viral right now of a killer whale taking down a great white.
What?
Mm-hmm.
You would know that. This is George's industry news.
Do you want to know the longest living animal?
Is it a tortoise?
No. There's kind of some conflicting answers on here.
Is it land or sea?
Sea.
I don't know.
Well, there's a type of clam that are known to live for more than 500 years, with the oldest specimen having lived 507 years. But then this says the bowhead whale can live up to be 200 years old.
Oh my gosh.
I know, you don't think it's like, because it's like, why? And then of course there's tortoises that can reach up to 190. There's some sharks that have lived for 300.
Whoa.
Anyway, I just thought it was like so interesting how like we know. And then you know what I'll do on our next episode, we'll do gestation period or pregnancy period.
Ooh, that'll be interesting. Yeah,
because those are also all over the place.
Yeah.
Isn't that just interesting?
You know what I was... Speaking of gestation periods of animals...
Is that what it's called, gestation
period? Yeah. I was thinking about this. We were at the farm the other day, and I was picking up the eggs that the chickens had laid that day. And I think our chickens lay like a dozen a day. So that's like... Does a chicken lay an egg every single day?
Yeah, they can.
So do they produce an... Like... All in just like a 24-hour period, like they make the shell, they make the, like everything inside of it, they just like make in a day? Or are they like, is that one that's maybe been in gestation, as we'll call it, for like a couple of days and then it comes out?
You know, I don't know enough about it. We'll have to get a chicken expert.
But isn't that interesting?
You know, and I will be entering my chicken homesteading trad wife journey because we're getting chickens like this summer.
Yeah.
Like we're not going to get probably any bigger animals this summer because we have to redo our whole fence. It's a whole thing. But we are able to get chickens.
Yeah.
And this is crazy. My brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, they have chickens, but they also have a rooster. So I guess there was, I guess a lot of chickens, if they're like not bred for, they don't always want to like sit on their eggs. Mm. So like sometimes, I mean, if a fertilized egg doesn't get sit in, like then we just eat it, like whatever.
Okay.
But they had this one chicken that like wanted to sit on eggs. So he let her sit on her egg, and then he found other fertilized eggs. He just said he took his cell phone light and could like see through if it was fertilized, and he put him under there, and the chicken hatched all the eggs. So Tyler says we're doing that too.
Oh my god,
we're gonna no like it's gonna be, we're gonna be farmers.
Yeah. Stumpy farms.
You
really need to learn a lot about animals then. So
well, I just think, yeah, but like one thing about me is my irrational fear is birds. Like I will not go near the chickens. No. I won't pick an egg. I won't touch one.
Oh, you won't pick up an egg?
Not if there's chickens around. Like I won't go in the coop.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I probably won't.
Well, that's what George is for.
That's why I like love having a boy, because like the other day a frog got in the house. I would have had to leave for 6 hours.
Yeah. No. Same. Would never touch it.
George. Takes it outside.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
That was a fun game.
Thank you. I thought it was kind of fun too.
I enjoyed that.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, I have a quick base model luxury. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah.
So someone wrote in on this in our email, and it was if the base model luxury could have been summed up in one tip, it was this girl's submission. And she said, a base model luxury is to get an extra pair of sunglasses, like whether they're just cheap or like, you know, maybe like get like some off Amazon to keep in your significant other's car.
Oh, I do that. Yes.
You have a pair in Maddie's truck.
I do. And he has a pair in my car.
See, that's, I don't do that. Yeah. And I need to wake up and do that. Yes. What a base model luxury to get in Tyler's truck and, oh, I might have some sunglasses.
Sometimes you forget.
Sometimes you forget.
Yes.
And my thing with my sunglasses is I lose them so often. I don't like to take them out. Like if I'm going into a place, I leave them in the car.
Well, and you know, you have an extra pair like lying around somewhere.
Yeah. Even if they're not, they don't have to be fab. Just put them in his car.
Yeah.
That was a really good base model luxury.
That's a very good, that's a tangible thing.
And it was car related. So it was extra fun.
Extra fun.
And today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at Rocket Money. You guys, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscription, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. And I absolutely love Rocket Money for that. In the past, I've logged on and I've realized that we've been paying for things like free trials that I never canceled for months at a time. And that was money I could put right back in my pocket. But even more recently, I recently had to get a new credit card for the Car Mom business. And you know, we have so many different subscriptions for like the website and just a lot of like auto withdrawals. And I was kind of scrambling to figure out like where all of them were. Well, I logged onto Rocket Money and found everything that I had on auto pay that I still needed, and I could quickly update my credit card information. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/carpool. That's rocketmoney.com/carpool. rocketmoney.com/carpool.
Okay, girl, we have some advice questions.
Okay.
So if you want to get your own advice, you can write into hello@thecarmomofficial.com. Okay. Hi, Kelly and Liz and the babies in the bellies. I need some advice regarding the 2025 Kia Carnival. I'm having my third child in April and was planning on just trading in my 2019 Chevy Traverse to get a used Kia Carnival so I can have all the kids together in the middle row. The thing is that I saw the 25 Carnival and all the upgrades, and since I know this van is going to be my vehicle for the long haul, I really don't mind waiting and spending a little more. But I don't know how to go about getting the process started. Do I call a dealership? Do I just wait till it pops up on the Kia website and build my own? How does it work once it comes in? Can the dealerships pop the price up even more like back when they first were being released? Should I try and sell my Traverse to Chevy and not come in with a trade-in, or is it better to have a trade-in? Sounds like she wants the 2025 Kia Carnival. It hasn't hit the dealership lot yet and she just does not know the process in which to begin.
Yeah, sounds like one, the car buying course would definitely help her out.
Yes, definitely.
Because we cover all of this. I mean, I think it's a little new. I don't think we have enough information about like what the demand of 2025 Kia Carnivals is going to be. I would say like, unless you're like dying for the hybrid, I would probably just, she say she's dying for the hybrid.
No, she just liked all the upgrades and she knows that she's going to have this for a long time. So she's thinking might as well buy new.
I mean, if you love the upgrades, then that's your prerogative. I don't feel like they're significant enough where I wouldn't knock out a really good deal on a 24.
I would agree.
I just don't think it was that crazy of, I would give a 24 a long hard look. And like the thing with Kia is like, you got to remember this about Kia, because some of the dealers are trying to be sneaky. Like they're not the name on everyone's lips anymore. Like there's Tellurides with discounts now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's Carnival sitting on lots. So I would my advice would be like, I'd maybe just like give one good hard look to like what 24s are like left and available. But then it's all about just like, you know, finding a salesperson and building a relationship with that salesperson. I think like I don't even know if it's a misconception, but like people get, I think, put way too much responsibility on the salesperson to follow up with you all the time when you want a car. And it's like they have so many customers who mm-hmm. want so many cars. So like it's like what you don't want to do is like meet the salesperson, say, okay, call me when you get one, and then like never call them, never follow up with them, and then be mad at them because they never called you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of, I mean, so it's, so I would just like go on DealerRater, find a good salesperson like we always talk about, and be like, when are the 25 coming? Here's what I'm looking for. Kia historically, I mean, I feel like it could change at any point, but they do let you custom order the car that you want.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of trust issues with their ordering process, at least I did like during COVID, so I feel like, and I just think depending on what you want, I think you should be able to like find one incoming.
Yeah.
And then for the Traverse, what I would do is, I don't think you need to sell back to Chevy. I mean, you certainly can go get a price from a Chevy dealership because everyone needs trades right now. But I also think whenever you're going after any sort of car, especially like a newer model, it's always good to like give your leverage to the dealership you're buying from, because like if it's me and you versus the same Kia Carnival hybrid white on beige, you have a, you know, kick butt Chevy Traverse trade-in and I have nothing because I sold my car to CarMax. Well, who's the dealer going to prioritize? Who's the dealer maybe even going to discount the car to get your cool trade?
Okay.
I mean, I think your trade's worth them. It's not like you have like an 03, you know, Ford Taurus. Like, it's a car that would retail.
I mean, here's the thing is like, you need your Traverse until you get the new Kia Carnival. So it's not like it's a question of, should I just sell it now? Like,
yeah,
get quotes at both.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, we have another question. Safety feature advice. Hi, Kelly and Liz. I'm reaching out to seek your advice on a topic that's been on my mind lately. My husband and I often discuss cars, thanks to the pod, and when it comes to safety feature, he tends to think of them as just seatbelt alarms or annoying alerts. He gets skeptical when cars advertise advanced safety features, and I'd like to help him understand the real value behind these innovations. Could you help me explain to him what these improved safety features actually are and how they contribute to making cars safer?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some... I'll use the word respectfully, annoying features out there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's parking sensors that like go berserk when you're in a drive through. Mm-hmm. And there's like lane departure warning where like if you, you know, change lanes on an open highway without a blinker, the car vibrates and is pissed off at you for the rest of the day. So though, but what I like about those is a lot of those features you can turn off. To me, like the driving assistance features, I think... I mean, there's such a wide suite of them. I think the ones that are like really important that I really look for, whether I'm new cars, I'll basically have them, but used car shopping, is frontal collision warning and automatic emergency braking. Mm-hmm. Like those are where, I mean, frontal crashes are some of the most common, and they're some of the ones that where I feel like the car just, I feel like they're not annoying, because the whole point of a frontal collision warning or automatic braking is the car's not going to start automatically braking.
Unless it needs to.
Unless you're not going to.
Yeah.
So those I feel like are like those are like a non-negotiable to me. And like if you're, I tell like parents of teens a lot, I'm like, listen, spring for it. Like buy, even if you have to buy a higher mileage car that's newer, like spring for it.
Yeah.
Because the automatic emergency braking is so important. I think blind spot monitoring is huge.
Blind spot monitoring is huge. Is a big
and
one.
And like I really need the... I don't want to rely on it. That's not what they're designed for.
No.
They are designed to be there when it would have been too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think those are pretty much the key ones.
Yeah. And
I agree. Lane departure warning is annoying. Like, I turn that off.
Yes. You can turn them off. And I will say, too, like, this happens a lot with Maddie, like, in my cars, because I have all, like, these new cars that have all the safety features, and I never turn them off because I'm just, like, getting in a new car. So I'm so... used to the technology, and he's not, so he gets very like, he gets annoyed sometimes with those annoying features, like you pointed out. They don't bother me, but I think that unless you're used to them, it's a change, it's different, people might be annoyed and frustrated with them at first because they're not used to them. So I just think that that's like another thing just to keep in mind, that it's like, even if he's like, well, this is so annoying, it's like, okay, you'll get used to it. You'll grow to learn. You'll grow to understand it. And also, like we said, you can also tell him a lot of them can be turned off. But there's no like, I don't see a reason why he would see those and be like, oh, that's a red flag, or like, oh, that's weird that they have all of those. Like there's no reason to feel, what did she say? She was like, he doesn't think they're necessary, or what was it?
I don't remember.
He gets skeptical when cars advertise. I don't know
what that means.
So
also, not only can you turn them off, but you can also adjust their sensitivities too. So like maybe he just like doesn't want one to be so sensitive.
Yeah.
Also, maybe he shouldn't be so sensitive. okay, Liz, are you ready for industry news?
Yes.
Okay, now it's time for industry news, where I spill the hot tea going on in the auto industry. We already like kind of shared all the drom with, you know, the New York Auto Show just like not having some key players, and like the Carlin Auto Show having them. So I just like can't say that enough. But this is a story I totally missed because we were in Montana. And you know how the news cycle works. Like you miss something and then things just get buried.
Yeah.
But I talked about this on my Instagram, but the Chevy Traverse pricing was released. Like I'm just an idiot who was like sitting here not knowing it was released.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to give an update about the headrest thing.
Oh, yeah.
So things have been popping off in the car mom Facebook page, carpool Facebook page, because people were going online to build their Chevy Traverse, and they noticed that when you build the second row bench, it doesn't have a headrest. Mm-hmm. But the third row does. Mm-hmm. Chevy was like, we just need to update the picture. We're working on it ASAP.
Yeah, you can tell it's clearly like a AI picture.
No, it's like not a real photo.
Like, it's not a real photo.
And I was pretty sure that was going to be the case, because I'm like, they're not going to do that. Like, they're not.
So that's good. So it will have it.
So it will have it. Praise.
Yeah.
That car is going to be
hot.
Is a contender for Car-Am Car of the Year.
Hot, hot, hot.
It's going to be hot, hot, hot. Okay. Let's talk pricing, though, because this was like the big question mark. Okay. So Chevy has revealed the pricing for the 2024 Traverse lineup, which is considerably more expensive than before. We knew that. Mm-hmm. The Traverse now starts at $39,495 for the entry-level SL trim, marking a $3,500 increase over the outgoing model's starting price.
Yeah.
But what do you get for that extra money? Well, you get a 17.7-inch touchscreen display. You get, which was like one of the biggest things. And you get a new engine. A
Headrest.
And you get a new engine. It's a turbocharged 4-cylinder, 315 horsepower. So, I don't know. Like, the thing, like, give me another, like, three-row SUV.
Kia Telluride.
Okay. Hold on. Kia Telluride starting price is $36,100. So, the Chevy Traverse is $3,000 more.
And it's bigger.
What is crazy is, like, to me, it's what's crazy is, like, there's, you're not gonna find, I mean, come on, you're not finding one for $39,400.
No.
And they're topping out at $55,595. Yeah. And if we looked at, like, a, like, let's go to a, like, Hyundai Palisade Calligraphy price, starts, see, that says prices for the Hyundai Palisade Calligraphy Courier range from $49,900 to $56,300. So, I mean, it's a nauseating price.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not like Chevy's doing anything that everybody else isn't.
Yeah.
And you just do go so back and forth, because the problem is, it's like, when is it just going to have to stop? Because, like, they are adding more. Like, I would agree that up to, like, the 23 and the 24, if you look at them, the 24 is so much better. It should be more expensive. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I understand how economics works. But at what point are you like, okay, well, if everyone has a 17-inch display and everyone's in the, you know, high 40s, really, like, for an attainable car, then, like, what? It's just, like, when does it stop?
Yeah.
When does it stop? And that's just what I felt like.
Well, I think that just means that competition is going to be more fierce, and therefore, hopefully, that means that in order to remain competitive, instead of trying to add more stuff and make cars more expensive, someone decides to be the cheaper option with still having,
like, the Atlas. Nice, the stuff. Atlas, remember the Atlas, like, rearranged the trim levels and made it cheaper. So you're so like, good. Huh? Okay. Speaking of Kia Telluride, so anyway. Traverse, I'm excited. I'm obsessed. I can't wait to drive it.
People were loving it at the New York Auto Show.
It's just so good.
It's so good. I really, like, really liked it.
I really like it, too.
I wish we had a Chevy dealership.
If I could change one thing, I would just obviously make a bench seat available on different trim levels. But I've been really doing a lot, and I mean a lot, of daydreaming, reflecting on the bench versus captain chairs debacle. And here's what I've come up with, okay? Okay. And I might make, like, real content about this. I might just, like, talk about this casually on the podcast and hope people never hold my feet to this. But I was thinking about, if kids 1 through 5, who I'd recommend would get a bench and who I'd recommend get captain's chairs.
If you...
Okay, so if you have one kid,
okay,
captain's chairs.
Okay.
If you have 2 kids, bench seat.
Okay.
If you have 3 kids, bench seat. If you have 4 kids, captain's chairs. If you have 5 kids, bench seat.
Hmm. That is not super helpful information.
I think that's helpful.
It's kind of helpful unless you're, like, don't know how many kids you're going to have.
Well, it's helpful for some.
Yes. No, it's helpful for some. If, like, right now, if we're like, should we have 3, 4, or 5 kids? You know,
well, then the thing.
It's like, what do I buy?
2 to 3. I'm 2 to 3.
You buy a Honda Pilot with the removable
with the bench seat anyway.
Yeah.
3 to 4, things get shaken up. 4 to 5, things get shaken up. 1 to 2, things get shaken up. So, No, I know. I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it's helpful, but I think
it's just the nature of the family car.
Yeah. And Tyler tried to tell me, he's like, you know, when the fourth comes, like, we're doing a minivan, which was kind of bold of him to confront the car about what car to drive.
No, it's definitely bold of him.
Like, I'm not over there telling the truck dad what screws to nail. You know
what? What screws to nail?
Well, you know what I mean? Like,
well, like, you screw in a screw and you nail in a nail.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane.
You should tell him.
Stay in your lane, truck dad. And that's just the amount of consultations I do when it's like, I want a minivan, but she doesn't. I'm like, yeah, well, it's her car, mister. So
yeah,
sit down.
Yeah, sit down.
But anyway, I am starting to think about like what I'm going to do, because I'm going to need to find.
Are you gonna
I'm going to need to find a more long term solution than like driving the used cars at the dealership and like constantly like.
So are you going to buy?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'll probably do something like that. But I don't know. I mean, the Kia Carnival is easy because we have a Kia dealership. The problem is the Kia Carnival is just not my favorite mini. It's not that it's not my favorite minivan. For four kids, it's not. I think the Honda Odyssey is probably like the one I'd want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
But I also really want a Ford Expedition. I want to probably stay in a Ford Expedition.
Yeah.
So that's my goal. I'm trying to figure that out currently. But then it's like, I have to do the Max, whether I do Benjo or Captain's. And I think either one would work because the Ford Expedition bench is so chef's kiss. Like, if I was going to be in a GM car, I would for sure do Captain's for four kids. Not even a question. Like, if you have a Tahoe, for sure skip the bench. And you have four kids, for sure skip the bench and get the Captain's. But I don't know. I mean, there's like a lot of fun combos we can try. So yeah. Stay tuned.
Do you want to give the update about the 2025 Expedition?
Oh, yeah, I do.
This is the hot tea going on in the auto industry, actually.
So we were over at the Ford display. Which, the thing about the thing about any of these manufacturers' events is sometimes we're the bells of the ball and sometimes we're those annoying girls.
Usually we're I think we're a combination.
I think we're a delightful combination.
Yeah.
The thing is we're true to
depends
our...
Depends on who you
the
ask.
The thing is we're true to ourselves and we can't be bought by anything but the right car.
Headrest and a good bench.
No, so that's the problem. So it's like, I don't care like how many like coffees and displays and like fun trips you have, like... It's all about the cart for
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
And I really, like, I'm really proud of us for that because they're so, and it's not even their fault, but just like the car reviewer model is so weird because, like, to be a car reviewer, you have to get cars to review. Mm-hmm. And most car reviewers have to rely on the manufacturers to send them. Mm-hmm. We're just like living in this, like, little privileged bubble of, like, oh, we'll just go to the dealership.
Yeah.
And we have, like, such a supportive father who, like, lets me, like, you know, trash on the Nissan Armada when he owns a Nissan store.
Yeah. / he also might not really watch that content.
Yeah, he doesn't really listen to the podcast. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
But anyway.
We have such a supportive father. He's so supportive. He is so supportive.
But I'm just saying, like, we just don't, like, and I'm saying that because I'm just proud of us. Because it would have been very easy to have been, like, bought, or, like, not even bought, influenced by X, Y, and Z. And I just can rest my head on my pillow every single night and knowing that I have not influenced by anything other than what is the best car for families.
What we are doing and what you are doing, especially in your consultations, it is too important of a thing to be bought. Like, no. It is someone's, it's a huge expense. It is literally hauling their family. And like, if you recommend the car that doesn't work for them, they're gonna be like, wait, this was a terrible idea. Yeah. This clearly doesn't work. Like, it is just too important of a mission to, screw up.
No. And I have never taken money from a car brand. I probably will. I never will take money from a car brand in like a capacity. Never. I won't do it. Unless they want to pay me like commission on like Ford Expeditions. But yeah. Even then, I probably wouldn't do it. It's just not. It's, we're here to like, serving families is always our priority.
Yeah.
Anyway, so all that to say is, it's like, our manufacturer relationships can be a little rocky.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't believe I didn't get invited to that event. Elizabeth's like, Kelly, why would they invite you to that event?
Yeah.
It's fine. Because the ones that get it.
Yeah.
And if they know we like their product, they'll bring it. So anyway, this guy at Ford comes up to me and he was like, are you the car mom? And I'm like, yeah. What did I do? What, are you mad at me?
Yeah.
And he's like, do you know that there's a 25 Expedition coming? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, I think you're really going to like the upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
But he wouldn't tell me anything.
Yeah. Kelly was trying to get him to...
I'm like, you can tell me. I won't tell anyone. Totally would have told you if I knew anything.
Yeah, but he said that he'll keep us posted.
I was thinking about what I would want them to change in the expedition to make it perfect. I think I've talked about this before, because we just, not because I was like, no, I just saw the spy photos like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Sunshades, iconic. Heads up display needs to be added. Yeah. And the front end, they just need to make it. I don't know. The thing I don't like about the expedition exterior wise is, like, if you just showed me the front of an expedition, I'd be like, is that an F-150? Like, I just wish the expedition could look a little bit more stylish.
Yeah.
Like,
not so truck like.
And, like, I feel like GM's cars don't. Like, the Tahoe and the Suburban look different than the Silverado.
Yes.
I just, like, I'm looking for that.
Oh my gosh, we saw the Silverado EV at the auto show, guys.
So ugly.
Stop me in my tracks with how bad looking it is. I took a photo and sent it to Maddie. I didn't send him a single photo of any other car except for that one.
Okay, can I get to my next story?
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of, I don't know, cars. Kia is recalling 430,000 Tellurides over a rollaway risk. The recall covers all 2020 through 2023, all, and some 2024 Tellurides due to an issue with the drive shaft engagement that could let some vehicles roll away. What? Affected models are at risk of rolling away while the vehicle is parked, increasing the likelihood of a crash.
What do you mean roll away? Like, if it's in park, it will just the brake will just come undone?
Yeah. It says, although NHTSA documents estimate only 1% of Tellurides involved in the recall are infected. So, like, they're recalling all of them and they're saying 1%. But that's still, like, what's 1% of 400? That's still 43,000.
So what does anyone do with a 23 Telluride?
4,300. Sorry. You can.
So I feel like that's
notification letters will be sent to owners with instructions to bring their vehicle to the Kia dealership. Dealers will inspect the intermediate shaft and replace if necessary. Okay, they will also install an update to the electronic parking brake system to prevent unintended movement while the vehicle is in park.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that sounds like an annoying chore that you have to do, but sounds like it's something that needs to be done.
Yeah. So, like, owner notification letters will be mailed May 15th, but you can go on NHTSA's website and type in your VIN number now to find out if your car is infected. But the thing is, it's covering all 2020 through 2023s.
Wow.
So if you have a Kia Telluride of those years, you need to get that taken care of.
Yes, you do. Stat.
Yep.
Okay, Cal. Well, thank you for sharing. Those are good stories.
Thank you.
Now it is time for Ditch the Drive-Thru, where we give you an easy dinner recipe to mix it up to get you out of your dinner rut. This one comes from Kaylin. She says, I'm making an easy crock pot recipe to bring to a friend, and it reminded me of your last episode with Naptime Kitchen. This is my go-to when I need to bring someone a meal. It is my husband's favorite meal to receive, so I got the recipe from my friend and started giving it to.
Oh, I'm on the edge of my seat.
She said, I was shocked to find out how easy this recipe is when my friend shared it. Hope y'all try it. Slow cooker beef tips. Sign me up.
Yes. This sounds number so one. Good.
This is what you need. 2 pounds of stew meat.
Brown and serve if you're Elizabeth.
I'm in.
Brown and serve.
I'm interested. No, Kelly, sounds so good. My mouth is watering. 1 can of cream of mushroom soup. 1 packet of brown gravy mix. 1 beef bouillon cube.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Most people do.
Okay. 1 cup of water. 1 small onion chopped. Combine ingredients in the slow cooker and cook covered on low for 7 to 8 hours.
Serve
over hot white rice.
I'm making this week.
I am literally going to screenshot. She sent us like it perfectly written out.
It's on notebook paper.
It has her name. Vicky Calloway is the original who wrote it.
I love it's Elizabeth. We have to make a church cookbook, but the carpool version.
Like, yes,
I need.
Yes, absolutely.
Put that on our vision board. I have to do that.
You know what?
I don't want to write my own cookbook because I'm not like cookbooky enough for that. And that's not really our thing. But like, I want
a church cookbook.
A Ditch the Drive-Thru church cookbook.
Yeah, me too. Slow cooker beef tips. Oh, I'm so in.
Where do I get more church cookbooks? If anyone has one, can you send it to me? Like, I just love. You know what my sister-in-law did for their.
Oh, I wanted it. Oh,
bridal shower.
What?
They did family recipes and they made their own little cookbook.
That's so cute.
It's darling is what it is.
How much did Danielle's meal thing go for at the auction?
Yes, it went for, I think, $7.50.
Did you?
I bid it up and then I stopped and it was stupid. But I don't know if she like, I kind of like want someone else to do it. Cause like how buzzkill just like cook for your sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Because like the thing with Danielle, she's such a good cook that like, I think part of it is like, she wants someone, she like
wants to share it with people,
and she like wants someone to tell her how amazing it is because it's so good. I do need to get the menu though, because the menu was, she's a different breed. She's a different breed,
dude, man. Honestly, I was thinking about it when you were going. If I wasn't pregnant, I would, next year I'm throwing my hat in the ring. I'm going to have you bid for me because, like, I want the alcohol pairings, obviously.
Oh.
Like, it feels like it's not as worth it without the alcohol pairings.
Let me see if she can send me the menu.
$7.50.
Yeah, it was good. What a good fundraiser.
Such a good fundraiser.
Sorry. Okay, I need to make the beef tips and gravy. Is that what it's called?
No, it's beef tips.
Slow cooker beef tips.
With, and oh, you serve over white rice. Sounds like you could serve it with like a carrot too.
Yeah, you could chop a veggie.
Yeah.
Would be an easy add. Okay, Liz, well, that was our episode. And if that doesn't wrap up the Carpool podcast between like millennial words, like keeping sunglasses in your husband's car, finding out like that an octopus only lives 3 to 5 years.
I mean, I hope you got everything you signed up for.
Kia Telluride had a recall. Chevy Traverse pricing is kind of crazy.
I'm having a girl.
Liz is having a girl.
All the fun things are happening. So,
wait, can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Did you see Naptime Kitchen, what she just posted on her Instagram about bringing sandwiches?
No.
It's such a good tip. It's kind of ditch the drive through adjacent. But like, I'm just kind of in like my potluck era. Like, I feel like we're always going to a place that requires potlucks. And she says, whenever she gets invited to a potluck or something, she always brings...
I did see this. Sandwiches. Yes.
Like
yes.
Turkey sandwiches cut up into fourths.
Yes.
And like, because of course, you know, that I would 100% put one of those on every one of my children's plates.
I'd put it on my plate.
I put it on my plate too. Even if there's like pork or whatever there, like that is such like a good, safe food. And then my kids are getting a little like protein in, like yeah, obsessed.
Absolutely.
She's just.
She's a different breed. Her and Danielle would get along.
Her and Danielle will get along.
Yes.
Would get along.
Okay, well, thank you so much for listening to the Carpool Podcast, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Carpool Podcast with Kelly and Liz. Make sure you're subscribed so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed riding with us, tell everybody you know. There's room in the car for everyone.